Welcome to the Haunted as Hell podcast. I'm your host, writer and comedian Emily Winter. It's the week before Halloween! This is our time, everybody. This is so exciting. What are you doing on Halloween? I want to know what you guys are up to. If you want to message me on Instagram, I'm at Emily MC Winter, and so is Haunted as Hell podcast. I will be doing something incredibly scary on Halloween. I will be flying from New York to LA on Spirit Airlines. Ooh-wee, Daddy. I should have just taken the bus. Anyway, I'm going to be in New York for a show this Friday. It is my husband recording an album. It's going to be so, so fun. And I've seen this hour. It's so, so funny. That's at Jalopy Theater in Brooklyn. And you can get tickets at jalopytheater.org. And I hope to see you there on this Friday. And I hope you like this episode because it rules. I've really been nailing it with finding great guests lately. Good job, me. These people are awesome. Okay, have a good week. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have comedian Teresa McCammon. Teresa, thank you so much for doing the pod.
Thank you so much.
I'm so excited to hear your ghost story. So you are in Louisville right now, and is that correct, where your story takes place?
Yeah, for the most part, throughout the state, but yes.
Oh, I'm so excited. I don't think I've had somebody in Kentucky tell me ghost stories yet. So I'm over 100 episodes in, and I still don't have this. So I'm very excited.
Well, they are everywhere. So
they are everywhere.
You got to meet them southern ghosts. They're a little more hospitable.
So what's your story?
I guess on a personal level, it started, early 2000s. You know, I've always had some kind of sixth sense, and my mother and her brothers did. And I'm the one who wanted it, and I don't really have what they have, you know, to see or experience paranormal things. So, but
what kind of stuff would they experience?
Well, I have an uncle who says that the dead come to him and he wants to turn it off. He's got to shut it down because he doesn't want to do that. It's as if souls that haven't left are coming to him lost and just very random. My mom has seen things, dead, you know, loved ones that have gone on or passed on. So, and I noticed some that, you know, some people are very skeptical or they don't believe those things, but I know these two. I mean, it's my mother and uncle, then they have no reason to make it up. You know, right. It's not attention seeker. They're not running around telling everybody or they have something out there. I know that not everybody knows that about them. So,
right. Especially when they don't necessarily want it. Like your uncle sounds like, no, he wouldn't make this up because he doesn't even want to talk about it.
Right. He really doesn't want anything to do with it. And he's got that capability, which I think some do. And then I'm the one who's like, oh, I want it, you know, bring it to me. And then now I'm kind of rethinking it. But I do feel like, you know, that I'm very protected too. So I don't know how to explain that. Like I almost can't, they can't kind of tap me because I'm protected. So, which is odd. So I don't know what to make of that. I mean, everybody has different thoughts and theories and spirituality or religion and thinks differently. Mine actually started, or the very first significant paranormal thing that happened to me was I lost a daughter and I was 7 months pregnant. Now it's dead. Thank you. I wouldn't have Nolan. I wouldn't have I have a 19-year-old son, but she, I had lost her when I was 7 months pregnant. She was stillborn. And at that time, we lived in this house that was over 120 years old, like an old farmhouse out in the country. And there was a new part to it and an old part to it. And the old part is where our bedrooms were. And we didn't own this place. We had rented it. And I guess, you know, obviously when you have a loss such as that, I was in a funk. I was depressed. So I found myself going to the bedroom all the time to lay down and just take naps. I just wanted to sleep all the time. Mm-hmm. And I guess about 2 months after we lost her, I had gone to lay down and I was not asleep. And I felt somebody tugging at the comforter at the end of the bed, you know, like somebody's grabbed it and pulled it. And I thought it was our cat. And I sat up and I was like, Jazz, you know, knock it off. But Jazz wasn't in the bedroom. So it was, and it was as if somebody was just holding on to that comfort and pulling it right off, you know, at your feet.
Kind of like, get out of bed.
Yes. Yeah. And it's funny that you should say that, because that's kind of what was happening. So that had occurred, and this was all kind of relevant, like within the same month. And I've understood that when you have a loss, sometimes you're really open to things. And that made sense to me, because I didn't, you know, I had to kind of think about all this a little bit afterwards. So then there was three other times when I had been in that bedroom within those 30 days. One time I laid down to go to bed again. Mm-hmm. I was not asleep yet, and I could feel the presence of a body lay down in the bed next to me.
Whoa.
And that freaked me out.
You just felt like an imprint or something?
Yes, exactly. It felt like a pressure, and you felt the bed sink. And my ex-husband, he was in his office, which was in the new part of the house. And I jumped out of that bed. Like, I mean, I laid there. I remember saying, I need a hedge of protection, you know, and I could feel actually the body lift as well. And that's when I got out of bed and took off and ran to my ex-husband, like hyperventilating.
Yes. So the imprint, it went down, and then they got out of bed as well.
Yeah. Like, so I'm laying there getting ready to go to sleep, and I could feel I'm facing one way. So I'm not facing like the bed, I'm facing the wall. Yeah. And it was a queen size bed. And I could feel the entity laid down in the bed. So it pushed the mattress down, and I could tell somebody's in bed with me, but it was, of course, nobody. And then I started, you know, my mind, I was getting sweaty. I was just laying there like waiting for it to leave. And then I could feel the presence also leave. Because like the mattress spring back up. It was probably seconds. So, and then the third thing that happened in that bedroom was, I think I was asleep, but I felt like someone was pulling me out of the bed. And when I kind of came to, half my body was out of the bed, and it's as if they were pulling my arm and pulling me out.
Whoa.
So
this is awesome.
With all that being said, huh?
This is awesome. Yeah.
So it was very weird, because it happened three times. We had already lived there for, I want to say, 2 years. Nothing had ever happened. Mm-hmm. And then this started to occur. And oddly, as long as we'd been there, I did not notice. I was starting to see crosses on some of the cabinets and doors where somebody did like holy water. And I had not even seen that before.
Wait, so like, it was like there was a mark of a cross?
Yes. So if I saw the doors, you could see the marks, and then the cabinets. I started paying more attention to it when I saw the first one.
And it was water, or it was just, what was it? Like, what was the marks? Was it? Yeah. What was it
usually
made of?
So somebody had blessed the house. Mm-hmm. And when they bless a house, usually holy water is typical. But why it would make a stain, I don't know, because it wouldn't do that. So I don't understand, Emily. I really don't. I don't know why I could see this. I'm not entirely sure what they used.
Yeah. But amazing.
I'm very aware now. All of this has gone on. It's been like 30 days. I'm like, nothing's happened in these 2 years. What in the heck's going on? But I also had a significant loss and, mm-hmm. you know, had been open. So it wasn't long after that. Actually, it wasn't very long after that we were moving. We were leaving the house.
Mm-hmm.
The last day that we were there, and I had never asked, the landlord came up, and they were really nice people, and it'd been in the family for years. That's all I had known. And his sister lived there for 15 years. And I said to him on the last day, like truly just getting ready to leave the parking, the driveway. And I said, did your sister ever say that anything ever happened, that it was paranormal here? And he said, yep, absolutely. So evidently, Louisville had a very documented 1937 flood. And this farmhouse is away from the river, but it during this kind of a flood event, it was right there. And there was two sisters, and they were old maids, and they lived at that house. Well, one of the sisters drowned in the 1937 flood. And I was like, okay. I went back inside the house, and I went back to that bedroom, and I thanked her. You know, I said, I didn't know you were here, and this is your home. And because I realized I felt as if she was trying to pull me out of my funk.
Yes.
Like she knew what was going on. Like she was trying to support me, but she was also trying to get me out of bed. And I am convinced it was the sister that, because a lot of time, go ahead.
Oh, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. But I believe that there's thought in the paranormal world that people who have died tragically, that's where the lost souls come in. Mm-hmm. They don't know that they died because they died tragically. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, it was very weird and surreal on the very last day that when I asked that question and just had found out that information. So it answered a lot of questions for me. So after that, not long after that, maybe a year later, I had my son. Things didn't work out for me and his father. He's a great, wonderful dad, though. And I found myself, every time Nolan was with his dad, I didn't have anything to do. So I'd go watch TV with my mom. And I was like, I've really got to get a life. And at that time, I was like 39-ish, I think. And I decided, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Next thing you know, someone dares me to go on an open mic. I'm now doing comedy. And then we get to talk about work, about paranormal stuff. And I'm like, hey, is there anything paranormal in Louisville, like some kind of club or something we could do? So I'm trying to find things to do and find myself all over again. And there was Louisville Paranormal Investigators, and they were looking for people that wanted to join them. And I'm like, I'm doing it. And I had three friends that joined me on that. The very first class that they had was how to make sure you didn't take anything home with you. So they went through smart. A variety of different things to get us to make sure that we didn't take something home.
And how didn't do you do that? Yeah. Do you have any quick fixes for listeners that are just like, I want to give this a try, but I'm afraid.
Yeah. So I correct myself though. I don't think it was the first class. It was the second class that they taught us, because I remember thinking they should have done this in the first class. We started with five friends, one of them including my mother. And needless to say, the second class is when they actually had a husband and wife team come in and teach us demonic versus something that was really just an entity that was left, a lost soul. Okay. There are differences, of course. And yes, I believe that there are things that are demonic. There are things that are just a lost soul, but there are evil. There is evil. And for the most part, it was whenever you left anywhere and you got into the car to make sure you roll down your windows and you say out loud, you can't go with me. You have to stay here. You need to leave right now. You are not welcome. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. leave and drive away.
Okay.
If you've had an experience with something at a particular place, anytime they do a blessing in the house, I believe it's the prayer of St. Michael. You know, someone's going through the house with sage. You start at the back part of the house, work your way through to the front door. And then all the while the other person is repeating the prayer of St. Michael over and over and over again while the person does the sage.
Okay.
That's doing a quick blessing if you think that there's something bad or lurking or.
And did you learn to do that with like the windows open and the doors open as well?
Yes.
Okay.
It just depends on the layout of the house. So you know what I'm talking about. You know, you can't start at a certain place. It's like you're flushing out the house. You got to start mm-hmm. at the furthest corner of the house and work your way out.
Okay.
And have windows open, just like you said, especially upstairs, if there's an upstairs. So a couple of things such as that. They also taught us like signs of something trying to reach you. So in other words, if, and I've had this happen, You might have had it too. Many people might have, where the doorbell rings at 3 a.m. and you're like, who's at my door at 3 a.m.? And there's no way I'm going to get that. And a lot of times people do go answer the door and nothing's there. But whatever was really truly there has now walked in your house. So you don't want to open the door.
So just
And
don't open the door at 3 a.m.
nope. Doesn't matter who it is. You know, people could text and call us. So it's not like it's a friend going, I need help. No, it's probably not good. And also there's, if you ever heard where you think you've heard your name, somebody say your name. If you just kind of heard Emily, you know, I get that a lot, is if
Really?
somebody is in my ear and says, Teresa, and I'm looking around, but nobody's there.
That's never
What
happened to
else?
me, but also I'm not gifted. I just have a huge interest in all this, but I believe it, but I don't, yeah, I'm not like I don't attract any of this. I don't know. I have a big thick skull and I can't, yeah. It doesn't happen for me. Maybe one day. But
Nope,
that's
I see. I
amazing.
was very much like that, and that's what I'm saying. I wanted to be more open, but I couldn't either.
Yeah.
But when they started talking about things, I didn't realize that I'd had some of these experiences my whole life, but I just didn't know what they were.
Right.
You know, when you feel that presence of somebody. So after, of course, starting this, then things became, I became more aware because I started doing paranormal investigations with this group. And became very, it just, I could feel cold. I could feel a presence. Never visually ever saw anything, but I do remember, like at Comedy Caravan, it's a prominent local comedy club in Louisville,
Amazing.
Kentucky. It's been around. It used to be the Funny Farm, and Tom Sobel, one of the biggest booking artists of our country, owned it, and he recently passed away. But Comedy Caravan, he had told me some time ago, as others, that it was haunted. And it was haunted by an old comedian that there was actually a comedian that died on stage there,
Oh my gosh.
sadly. Yeah. And had a massive heart attack.
Oh, that's the scariest
And
thing because everyone thinks you're doing a bit and you're like, "No, I need medical help." Like I always think, yeah, I've had this worry of because I always this is TMI probably, but I always poop right before I perform. I'm 12 years into comedy and I always poop. And I'm like, "One day I'm just going to poop on stage and everyone's going to think I'm doing a bit and then they're going to smell it and they're going to be like, this is not a bit. This woman is having a problem." You know? But anyway, this is the worst version of that. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that would be significant. I cannot recall the stories, but it wasn't. I think there was a comic that they said haunted it, but nothing. He didn't die there or do anything tragically. It's as if he had played or been there before, did some comedy there before, and liked the club. And they said that he haunts it now, but he was never originally from Louisville. And
Okay.
then, yes, there was a comedian that did die on stage. I happen to know the comedian, the headliner was, or she might have been featuring, I'm not sure, that was there that weekend. And she's still a bit traumatized by it.
Of
So, and
course.
rightly so. And that's been within the last 10 years.
Oh, so
So
sad. So
they,
the one who died on stage is not the one that haunts it.
well, there's thought that there, that maybe, but there's been too much reference to the other comedian who evidently was very tall. He was over 6 feet. And I was there. They were going to have a media, there was a meeting of local comedians in Louisville. So I went down there and we were all what's called the Oasis Room and standing in there. And I was standing by the bar. There was nobody near me. And I heard the Teresa in my ear, like I said. And then I felt like somebody was towering over me. I'm only 5'2". So you could be 5'6" and it feels like you're
Yeah.
towering over me. But this, it's like someone's standing behind me and they've got to be like 6'3". And then when I'd heard my name and I turned around, totally looking up, expecting to see somebody tall standing behind me, there was nobody there. And it wasn't long after that, I think that I had made mention about it and somebody shared the story with me about those comedians and hauntings. And they have had a paranormal group to come in there and do some kind of investigation. It was not ours. I don't know what the outcome was of it because they're usually overnight, but I do know that one of the owners, it was not Tom, one of the owners that bought it directly from him when he decided to sell, they got the paranormal group in there. But I think you know him. You know Mike Brody, comedian Mike
Yes,
Brody.
Minnesota.
Yes.
He's been on the podcast. I love him. Yeah.
Yes, and he does this, and he has headlined for Comedy Caravan several times, and I can't recommend. I'm not sure if I had featured for him or not, or just happened to be down in the club because everybody's like, "Oh, you got to meet him. He knows paranormal stuff." And then he does stuff in that hotel where they had filmed The Shining, and I'm like, "Okay, you had me at that." And so we at that time, whenever Mike came to town. And I'd already reached out to him. I said, we have, I was already part of the Louisville Paranormal Investigators, and we have a, we kind of had a home base. It was called Baxter Avenue Morgue. So this old building had been 20 billion different things, evidently, like from a laundry service, kind of factory place. But you could tell at some point when they've started digging and excavating, they started finding things under the dirt, like old horse stalls. And there's a story about a family that went missing, that they owned the morgue. It was a morgue at one point, and that they had gone missing. Well, later on, it became a haunted house. It's still a big time haunted house in Louisville. So, you know, every October, towards the end of September, you can go to the Baxter Avenue Morgue. So we would go and do investigations there. And the crazy thing was, it was all set up like it was a haunted house. So it was creepy as it was.
That's really funny. I love it.
And we started doing some investigating there because the thought was, it acts as if it was a like a depot, like a train depot. And there was all kinds of souls there. It didn't make any sense of who they were or belong there, but it was as if it was like a portal where entities would come to it and it would just be random. So, but Tom Bro or Mike Brody, whenever he came into town, I was like, you want to go and do an investigation? I'll line one up that night. So after his shows at Comedy Caravan, which he's fantastic, by the way, he came over to the Baxter Avenue Morgue and did a investigation with us. I don't think anything was really happening or popping that night, so he probably didn't think twice about it, but there has been significant things in the past, and I experienced something significant. And ultimately, what happened after that was the people that do the investigations or head the LPI submitted some stories of us that they had on tape of us telling our stories to My Ghost Story, the TV show that was on several years ago. They still show reruns, and next thing I know, My Ghost Story wants me to come out to LA and film, and it was the fastest 24 hours in California I'd ever had, and came right back. And then it went, then like a month later, they come to the site and we film all these things, which was hilarious because they're like, okay, would you put your hand on the doorknob and turn it ever so lightly? Okay, now just take your hand off and put it above it. Like all of these different types of things, which you know you they'll have like 3 hours of footage and use 5 minutes, but that's okay.
Yes. Oh, it's exhausting. I played a ghost actually on a ghost reenactment show when I was like 22, and yeah, it was just like me sitting in a cab for so long, for so long. So I was supposed to be like a ghost. Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but totally
I'm
get
telling you, it is
it.
funny though. It is like really weird to, okay, when you know, get in the car, like you're driving off. Okay, get in the car and turn your head this way and drive. Turn your head that way and drive. So it was pretty eventful. And my story, and you know, we this was at a time, if you think about it, I used to think there was going to be a whole paranormal channel on cable. I still can't believe there's
I
not.
can't believe it. Yeah, totally. There should be.
I would have swore to you that that was going to happen with all of the paranormal shows that were on. And this was at the height of it. Like everybody was like, ooh, they wanted to do this. So I'd already been doing it for a number of years. And while Baxter Avenue Morgue was our home site, we did do other places. We did all kinds of places in the state. The team would also had gone to Gettysburg. I guess I can get to that in a minute, but with the ghost story, it's still on, it still airs. So once in a while I get a friend who texts me and they're like, saw you on TV this morning, watched an old
Amazing.
episode of My Ghost Story. So
So what were the what did what were the stories that you told on My Ghost Story from Baxter Avenue Morgue?
well, the thing that was the most significant, and I think it just told me that yes, there is paranormal, confirmed that it was entities. I have always felt, Emily, though, it's not my place to understand it or know exactly how it works. I just, I do believe in God, and I was like, it's really not my place. It's not like God's gonna go, yes, this is how what's happening. It's like I confirmed, yes, this happens, it does exist, and I do believe in ghosts and entity and demonic things, but I didn't want to dig too deep. I didn't feel like that was my right to do. But when we did LPI, I handled the voices. So we had the EVPs, and I would
Sorry, what does LPI
use
stand for?
Louisville Paranormal Investigations.
Got it. Should have
Yep,
put
sorry.
that together, but
That's okay. We had to we LPI had me do the little recordings, and then I would take them home. And there was a program that I had to go through to see if, okay, and if I could find anything or hear noise or hear sound. It was really cool, but it was really creepy to do. If you're home alone and it's like midnight and you're going through all this data and listening, I was like, something's gonna freak me out and I'm not gonna have anybody here. But so one night I was listening back, and we had done an investigation, and I was in a particular room. I can't remember what they called that room, but I didn't hear it at the time. I heard something, and I did hear where a voice said out loud, I think I asked where they were, and they told me the room that they were in. And I realized I think I got something. So I was saying things, but at that time I couldn't necessarily hear anything back when I was doing it real time. When I took it home and I started going through the EVP, there was a comment that was made that there's just no way it could be on that. I don't know if you all understand EVPs and using a recorder, but using like a AM radio that's on static, and they use that often to try and attract all of this. So the Baxter Avenue Morgue, like I told you, it's an active haunted house, and there is a gentleman named Lucian. He was dressed up as this particular character who was one of the missing family members back in the day. I was talking about that earlier. And so whenever you arrive to the morgue, Lucian comes out, and he was like, he's very dramatic, very charisma, and just hello and welcome to the blah blah blah. And Lucian was a friend of ours, he's just an actor, and but you don't hear that name Lucian.
No.
I think he went by Luke, but you just didn't hear that name Lucian at all. So I was in that particular room, and when I'd started going through the EVP, the voice said, Lucian introduces. And I was like, what?
That's amazing.
So first of all, nobody says the name Lucian. And even if it was something on the AM radio, it was like, it's Lucian. Nobody goes by that name. It's such a rare name. And what does Lucian do at the Baxter Avenue Morgue? He introduces you to the morgue. He's the first person you meet before you walk through the haunted house, the haunted morgue.
So
And I was like, this.
is he deceased or is he alive? I'm
No,
confused.
Lucian's still very much around. Yeah. I don't
Oh,
know if
okay.
he does the intro, because this was about 10 years ago. So I'm not sure if he's still doing that role, but he was there for years.
Yeah.
Lucian is always filled that role.
So like the ghosts know him and they're like, Lucian introduces.
Yes. Yes, because he was
Amazing.
there every weekend during October. And I was like, you can't make that up.
Yeah.
So when I showed the, you know, because we paranormal investigators, they'll do everything to debunk anything. We're going to debunk it. You know, everybody thinks they have an orb. And I crush dreams all the time on Facebook. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. Oh. And I'm like, nope, not an orb.
That's so like, funny.
Mad.
No, but, good for you. Good for you. We need people to do that so that, you know, to make when the stories are real, then they're really meaningful.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, orbs are solid. And a lot of people have these clear, you know, and it's like, no, that's a bug. You know, it's got like a tracer behind it. It was a fast moving bug. Our cameras, you know, our cell phones do weird things and the camera. So, yeah, it's just education. And I didn't know any of that until I learned a lot of this. But
yeah.
So that was a huge kind of find to have a voice saying Lucian, and it was a man. I couldn't tell you an age, but he just said Lucian introduces. And then you hear my voice say, where are you? Well, I never heard an answer. But
yeah,
like I said, when I go through the EVPs, then I was hearing the answer. Just sitting there in the room and asking, I didn't hear it. And then he said, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember what the room was called, but he said the room. So it was like, he said, Lucian introduces, and you hear me say, where are you? Because I don't even know he says that till later. And then he says the room that we're in. So
that's
amazing. Was like 100%. My experience with something that I was like, I cannot debunk this. I can't make it up. I can't manipulate anything. And so they did a big video about it. And then my ghost story, that's predominantly what I had shared with them.
Amazing.
So, but I did share something one night that a chair, the owners were down there. It was a Friday night. And I happened to text and say, hey, what are you guys up to? Oh, we're down at the morgue. Come on down. We're just kind of doing our own thing, you know? And I said, absolutely. So I went down and they had had, they had just set up a camera downstairs, in this particular room where the funny thing is it's set up for a haunted house. So there's like gurneys and like body parts bloody all over. So it looks horrible anyway. And, the owner's wife, we were walking off and did something else, and we hear him scream. And when we went back in, he was like, go run the camera because the chair had flipped over.
Whoa.
So you see the chair rock and it had flipped over. We weren't in there. He was in there, but he had heard the chair. He wasn't in the room at the time. And then when we went back, and we looked at the camera, it was just like this folding chair rocked and then flipped over.
Oh my gosh. And you have the evidence. That's amazing.
Yeah. So we had that and that I absolutely saw with my own eyes. And then of course my experience checking with those EVPs. And then that's the stories that I had told on my ghost story. So those were the crazy things that happened with LPI. I'm not gonna lie. I found it fascinating and more fun that I was in a place at 2 a.m. in the morning and in places where I'm like, you know, if we ever came here, we'd never be able to go in here. Like the Belle of Louisville's captain where he drives. I'm like, we wouldn't be even allowed to be up here. It's 2 a.m. We're hanging out in the Bell where the captain is.
Yeah.
So the history of everything is just fascinating.
I appreciate that you're no bullshit on the like times that you don't get anything. What percentage of time do you feel like do you actually get some evidence of paranormal when you're doing these investigations? Because I feel like there's a big people think that when you go in, you're going to get a ghost every time. And that's clearly not true. So what from somebody who really is serious about this, like how often does that happen compared to the times that it doesn't?
You more so don't get anything at all.
Yeah.
At all, you know, and then when you do get something, you go through so much to try and rule out a variety of different things to say, no, this was truly something of a paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been plenty of times we've gone to places and we were so excited because we'd heard, oh, this happened, that happened, and then be crushed because there was nothing that came of it. So it was quite disappointing many, many, many times, because you were 100% spot on. There'll be nothing most nights in most places you go.
And I wonder
Bella
if this
Global
is
had
the
nothing.
reason that there is no paranormal channel, because you have to spend so much time and money. If you're not, and I know some of the ghost shows are fake, but if you're being serious about it, then you're going to waste a lot of time, energy, money, crew, to get a film, to get all this
Yeah,
information, and there's nothing.
absolutely. And so yeah, more so you're going to be very disappointed, but you got a good point. It'd be really labor intensive to have some kind of paranormal channel. So I did that for quite some time. I really don't do as much as that anymore, but I do get asked sometimes. Like, if somebody, I get a lot of comments, I need to have you over at the house. There's stuff going on. I'm like, just let me know. I would do it like that for a friend. Get a lot of people who we did some private homes before. They would call and say, hey, can you do a private? And the one that I went on in particular, I'm also a nurse. So when we did this one, I was like, yeah, there's nothing paranormal going on here. Unfortunately, it's mental health. And she ended up that she was schizophrenic and
Oh gosh,
pretty
that's so
young, and I'm not
sad.
entirely sure she was diagnosed just yet. But at the end of it, I kind of had to talk. We did but we followed through and did a blessing and a cleansing of the house and let her see that. And maybe if that offered her some temporary peace. But at the end of it, I had to tell them, I was like, guys, there's nothing paranormal here.
Yeah, that's very
So.
kind of you. Well, this has been an amazing episode. Teresa, tell everyone where they can find you on the internet or wherever. Plug what anything you would like to plug.
I'm very predominantly based in Louisville, and because of my profession and being a nurse. And then during COVID, I did not do quite a bit because it was not funny to me. And I really want to hear the comedy jokes either. And
And also, who
about
wants to
COVID.
go kill people with their jokes?
Yeah.
That's I.
So I did a fundraiser, but I was just so busy within 2020, 2021 dealing with this crap. So at this moment, I am me on Facebook, and I typically at Comedy Caravan when I do something. And I know we got two more new clubs in town I still haven't checked out or done
Oh,
anything
cool.
on. But Louisville Comedy Club is downtown, and they're bringing in some really big headliners. So yeah, I'd like to maybe take that stage one day.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you enjoyed this podcast, the best thing you could do is help spread the word about it by rating and reviewing it wherever you get your pods and just sharing it, the old-fashioned way, like saying to somebody, "Wow, I just did the best thing with my commute." "Oh, what was it?" "It was listening to this podcast. It was so good. It was called Haunted as Hell, formerly Comedians with Ghost Stories." "Oh, wow. Great. Thank you for telling me, Ted." Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Emily MC Winter and Haunted as Hell on Instagram. Here's a good way to remember it. It sounds like haunted a shell.